We'll now hear our morning scripture.
It's from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen."
Thank you, Liz. So this last several weeks, I've been preaching from the book of Exodus, the stories of the deliverance of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and of Moses leading them out into the wilderness, where through a long series of trials and adventures, they were formed into a community of faith. We have seen their doubts and their fears, their temptation to complain and look back, but we have also seen how they were fed with manna and quails, and how water was provided by God in the desert, and how they were given God's commandments. Now in this passage, God has told Moses, it's time to move forward. Leave the area of Mount Sinai, the place where they had experienced God's presence, and head north out of the wilderness toward the land that God had promised them. The land was called Canaan at that time. It later was the nation of Israel, much later known as Palestine, today's modern-day Israel. Moses was afraid. This was heading into lands where he had never been. He didn't know what lay ahead. There was all sorts of uncertainty and risk and possible conflict with other people as they moved toward this promised land. Moses wanted reassurances. In that time, gods were associated with places. There were Egyptian gods and Canaanite gods. And then there was this God that Moses had first met in the wilderness, in the burning bush, and had experienced again and again in the wilderness, and especially there on Mount Sinai. Now this wilderness God was telling Moses and the people to leave, to go to Canaan. And Moses wanted a promise that the God he'd known on Mount Sinai wasn't going to stay on Mount Sinai. He wanted to know if God was going with them. I think we can understand what Moses was feeling. In our own small ways, how many of us have had a spiritual experience in some place or time, on a retreat, in a visit to a holy place, in some powerful experience with others, and we've wanted to just stay there. Can we make this sense of God's presence last if we just stay here? Will God be with us if we go somewhere else? Can't we just stay in this place where we're sure God is with us? But life never allows that. We always have to move forward, take the next step, move into the uncertainty and unknowns of what lies ahead. Right now, we are in the midst of enormous national uncertainty and on the brink of much more. We are anxious and even fearful of what lies ahead. Never in my lifetime have I heard Americans refer nervously and sometimes almost with a sense of inevitability to unrest and violence around an election. But that is where we are today. And of course, at the same time, we're dealing with COVID numbers rising and colder weather coming. There is so much right now that can fill us with anxiety, fear, dread. Pick what word works for you. I find myself this week having more trouble focusing, being more reactive to little things, not sleeping as soundly. I shift back and forth between knowing I should drastically limit my intake of news and being drawn to read and listen more, as if somehow something I read or hear will shift the realities we're living with. Like Moses, as we're facing into these coming days and weeks, I think we find ourselves wanting to know, are you going with us, God? Are you going with us into this uncharted, unknown territory that lies ahead? We want to trust that God is with us, but I think our anxieties and fears are about our uncertainty and our need for reassurance. The words in this story are so poignant to me. Moses and God talking back and forth, and Moses saying, "You're telling me to take these people up to Canaan, but you haven't let me know for sure who's going with me. Are you going?" There's this long dialogue back and forth. Moses reminding God, "You've said I know you by name. You've said I please you, that I've found favor in your sight. So now if that's true, show me. If you know and care about me, let me know you're with me. And think about the people. You've said they're yours. You're the one who brought them here. Are you going with us?" And God answers, "My presence will go with you. I will give you rest." But Moses wasn't convinced. "You know, if you're not going," he says, "don't make us go. How shall it be known that we're pleasing to you, that we found favor, unless you go with us?" And God says again, "Okay, I'll do what you're asking. You have found favor. You have pleased me. I know you. I will do what you ask. I will go with you. I will be with you. I know you fully, all of who you are, and I'm promising not to leave you." It's such a powerful exchange. Moses again and again wanting reassurance, and God saying, "My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. I know you by name." But then Moses asks for something more. "Show me your glory, I pray. Let me see you and know you, God, more fully. Let me know you in some way as you know me." And God responded. God revealed God's self to Moses. There on that mountaintop, Moses had his most full revelation of God, an intense, powerful experience, an encounter with the mystery of God. God said, "Okay, I will make my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." This is a mysterious moment. God says, "I will show you and tell you my name, the Lord." This is the same name that God had given to Moses back at the beginning of Exodus, at the burning bush, when Moses, fearful to follow God's directions and goes to go back to Egypt, said, "Well, who shall I tell them has sent me?" And God says in Exodus chapter 3, "Tell them that I am, has sent you." I am. The word is linked to the, in Hebrew to the verb to be. As Bill's Hebrew professor used to tell them years ago, this word, I am, he said, it means the ising one, the essence of all being. The name, as we see it in the English Bible, is spelled Lord, all caps. And it is a translation for the Hebrew word for consonants that we would pronounce Yahweh. But in Hebrew, this is the name of God which is never spoken. When Jewish readers see those four consonants, they do not say Yahweh. They say Adonai, which means Lord, because the true name of God, the name of God revealed here, is so mysterious and so holy that it should never even be said. Here, God showed God's essence to Moses. God revealed God's glory. But God said, "You cannot see it all. You can't see my face. No one can see all my glory and live." God is so much more than we can comprehend, so much more than we can take in. Cynthia Bourgeau writes that to begin to apprehend God's presence, we have to upgrade our operating system, learn to function on a new level, tune into a higher frequency, and that is what spiritual practices like meditation and prayer are about. We can ask, we can pray, we can try to demand of God, but we can never predict or control when God's presence will break in ways that we can recognize. What we can do is learn to be ready, alert, mindful, paying attention. Theologians write of the hiddenness of God, the ways God limits God's self, even hides God's self. Because if God revealed all of God's self, there would be no room for us. God doesn't overwhelm us with God's glory. God reveals what we can handle, what we can take in. The larger mystical understanding is that when we cry out to see God, we're like fish swimming in the sea looking for water. Scripture says, "In God we live and move and have our being." We are already in God, always, forever. And yet, like fish swimming in the sea, if the fish are looking for water, it's all here. God is already here. So I am Yahweh. Reveal God's glory in a way that Moses could take in. "See," God said, "there's a place where you can stand on a rock, but when my glory passes by, I'm going to put you in this little cleft in the rock, and I'm going to cover you with my hand until I pass by. And then I'll take away my hand, and you will see my backside, but you will not see my face." The backside of God is what we see most of the time. Hints of God's goodness. Glimpses of God's glory. We have these moments when the light breaks in, when we see something bigger, sense someone greater, moments when things come together and we realize that everything is connected and that everything is part of some amazing, glorious whole. Contemporary writer Squire Rushnell coined the term "God winks." For these moments, when we realize that coincidence is beyond coincidence, when synchronicity happens, when God's realm breaks into our everyday realm in ways that make us realize there is so much more to reality than we normally recognize. These moments, these glimpses, these God winks are what keep us going, what feed our faith in difficult and challenging times. In these uncertain and anxious days we are facing, like Moses, we want reassurance. We want confirmation that God is with us. And what we get is God winks. Walking in the woods as the leaves drift down, seeing a flock of geese against an October blue sky, holding a child's hand, sunlight and rainfall, autumn trees, Cayuga Lake, the whole realm of God's beautiful creation all around us, and the joys and mysteries of life and love that we share. All of these and so much more are God winks, to remind us of God's presence, to reveal God's goodness, and to assure us of God's mercy and grace. In God, we live and move and have our being. We are fish swimming in the ocean of God's love. And God says to each of us, "You have found favor in my sight. I know you by name. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Amen.